This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2017, held in Sugar Creek, Ohio on March 3 and 4.
How many of you, are you all ministers, just by way? Everybody's a minister, a deacon, or ordained, I should say. Okay, well, welcome.
Thank you. I got nose trouble, that's all.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
No, and I'll just say, you know, sometimes in our school course, sometimes, you know, with the pastoral environment, you know, sometimes at the school board, we feel sometimes there was a comment made about not the school board not being made puppets. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just here to hear what are the roles of the pastoral board.
Okay, is it?
I know what I'm saying, Jimmy, right?
What's that?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I think before we begin, let's answer the prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Pray that you grant us insight. Lord, we thank you for the inspiration that's been exhibited here this weekend. So we ask, Lord, that as pastoral advisors, you know what to do and what not to do, so help us to be diligent in our duties. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do have some handouts here, which I will give to you. I'm not saying that we have to stick to them, because that is your desire. The last time we have, the last session was considered a forum. So a forum is something that everybody gives their input. And so I want to notice this outline. I do have some empty blanks at the bottom of each point, and I would expect some input from that. And also, I have some here. Thank you. You can give some of your input, and we don't have to stick to this outline. If something comes up that we don't need to stick with us, but it's an outline I have prepared. The verse that I have chosen for this topic was 1 Thessalonians 2:4. And the verse reads this way: "But as we were now of God, and put in trust for the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." So we, as ministers, we were put in trust with the gospel. And I view that the same way for our school board members. They were put there, they're elected in the congregation to be put there, and to be put in trust with the gospel. So in that way, or with the board. So we have to relate to them in that way, because they were chosen of God by the church and to be put there. So they're not somebody that we necessarily pull off the street or whatever and comes along with that, but that's the way it is. So let's go in here to the role of the ministerial representative. And the first one that I have is the importance of the representative. And I think it is important that we do recognize the importance of our position on the board. I did want to say that this outline is sort of a skeleton, as I would say it, and I think of it. And so therefore, I want to see if we can put some flesh on this, what we have here. So maybe would you like to answer the question, why are you there on the school board? Any comments on regards to that? Why are you there?
The other one comment that was made the other day was continuity. It is when you're ordained, you're for life or for a longer period of time. And when you're on the school board, the school board's either a 3-year, 5-year, whatever set up, and they might go off.
Okay, I think that's good, yeah, but that is for continuity. And I think that is very important. Well, let's go down to the first one. And I have that it is a church school, and it's not a community school. So that's the one obvious answer to why you are there, because it is a church school. Obviously, you are involved with the church, and the ministry needs to be involved with the school. And number two is the board meeting is attendance. And I don't know how you used to do it, but let me skip down to the procedural. Within our school, we have a 5-member board, and we have 3 ministerial representatives. The boards are in place for every year that we get a new board member, one every year with 5 years and be replaced. And within the ministry, we have 3 representatives, and there's different avenues which they are chosen. Our sister congregation in Strasbourg, the church votes who gets put on as a minister team or the representative. At the row, we just choose amongst ourselves the ministry who would be best fit for the time. I had served for quite a number of years after I was ordained as a representative. And then as some others became ordained, I recruited some of those. Then as time went on, I was put back on, and some of the others wanted a rest. Some of our older ministers, they feel as if they served their time. So they're 70 plus or whatever, so they say, hey, it's news. So we sort of just take turns in regards to that. That's how we do it. So what else I share this morning is from my perspective and how we operate in our local community. And so skipping back up here now to the board meetings attendance, of course it should go without saying that if you're not regular at the school board meetings, there's a hiccup. And my experience of being on board is it's important that we be there for continuities. You know, there's always situations come up that you refer to in your mind. If you miss a meeting or two, and there's something missing. So I think it's important that we are there as ministering just as often as what the school board members are. I think that's very important. And under 2A, your presence speaks. If we are to come at a whip stitch, what is that telling you? Telling the board? What's that telling the church? If we just are ho-hum about it, if we're not regular, I believe it would say that we really don't care is what we should. I remember the story of autobiography on George Bush, and one of his laments was, if you remember back when Hurricane Katrina hit, the Gulf of Mexico down there, he came on the shore. And after the hurricane, flew over in his airplane, and he looked at the damage. Of course, he was concerned. He put all his arsenal together to try to help. But he just flew over, and he didn't land and wasn't amongst the people. And one of the reasons was that there's no place to land, all the devastation. But the public looked at him as, hey, this man, he really don't care. He didn't land on his plane on the ground to get amongst the people. And that was a regret that he had. But he was accused of not caring simply because his presence wasn't there. And my point is that our presence means something. Even though a lot of times on the board, I purposely be quiet because of I want the other ones to speak. But there is times we do have to speak. But, you know, our presence speaks. And it's important that we are there. Number 4 is blank. What's your input? Well, I believe that the what I have another listed for this is the simply the spiritual input. That's our report, but I have a heading all concerned with that. I think that's how important it is that spiritual input. I mean, we can get to that later. Okay, let's go down to number two, the connecting link. We are a connecting link from the school to the church. As we think of patrons, boards, I know from my comments that I hear from the fellow board members and board chairman, they express appreciation for the ministers being there. I appreciate that from them. They appreciate us being there. They want our presence. They want our input into certain states of the school. And some of those connecting links number one is the standard of practice that we have within our schools. We do have a handbook, and I suppose you all schools have handbooks. And you could say, well, just look in there and I can find your answers. But there's a lot of dilemmas come up in the life of the school that it's not in this handbook. And it's important that, and I would say, one issue that we dealt with is logos on dress as they attend school with the outer coats. Do you really want all your children coming to school with Pittsburgh Pirates written on the back there, or a PSU, Pennsylvania State University, proclaiming? Well, there's some things that is connecting me. How we do it as a ministry, as a church, what do we want for our school in relation to that? And it's something that our input needs to be into that. Number two is behavioral practices. I'm thinking of our children that they have behavioral issues. Why does Johnny act that way anyhow? Why does he do that? The school board members may not always have insight of the inner workings of how a minister is maybe working with the family because of what the family has shared with the minister and so on. And so we have an insight that to share with them that they may not have. And it's important for us to share them. And some of the reason why Johnny may act that way is home issues. Maybe there's a moral failure in the home. Maybe there's a financial situation at home that nobody else knows anything about, and that's why Johnny's acting the way he is. Or there could be illnesses. We have a situation in our school that there's a young boy, I think he was about 14, and he contracted Lyme disease. And he couldn't attend the school. And of course, someone like that is viewed as, well, is this boy lazy? Is he stubborn, or what is his issues anyhow? And he got so bad that he could not attend school because of the seriousness of his limes that he had. And I think he is on the road to recovery now, but he's old enough now, I'm not sure if he'll come back to school or not. But it's situations like that that we are the connecting link. If the board knows that how the ministry feels about it, so it just helps in the understanding of a student such as that. Okay, what else would you have to share considering the connecting link between the school and the church? The thing of us as a ministers, the roles that we would have.
In a real way, school life is where the rubber hits the road. We're working together and getting along, and family to family stresses. And one of the things I thought of is this could be a link the other way for us as ministry to get a feel for what we need to teach, what do our people need to hear from the Word to help them through what we're facing in everyday life. I'm not talking about addressing issues over the pulpit, but if we know of some of these situations, we can encourage, we can know what scriptures would apply and really maybe be a help to what they're facing in day to day.
I believe that is true, that it can look the other way. Well, another way I think it is important for us as ministers, it's a sort of simplistic thing, but yet it's so important, that is making announcements to the congregation about the school. If there's never anything that comes across the pulpit from about the school, then there's something lackadaisical about that. So I think it's when parent-teacher meetings are that it's announced, whether if you have a bullet in your churches or however that is accomplished, maybe there's a need for teachers, and that can be expressed. And so I think publicly, but that is our responsibility to see those things. We should be involved enough, especially one who is a representative, to see that those things get announced to the congregation. I believe that makes a great connecting link when we are free with that. The comments?
Yeah, I thinking about that connecting link, and I'm afraid I can report from the number of years I sat on as pastoral advisor in schools, three different ones, that my personal feeling is I need to own the interest in the educational academic developments of our school. I need to have an interest. When I say own, I got to have an interest in it. And I've been on some of those boards where I might err on the other side of saying too much in a board meeting, but if I have no interest in what's going on there, and believe me, it happens in some ministry.
I know within our school board, the meeting they asked about like comments or saying something to lighten the burden of the hour or whatever. And I know within our board, I like me get accused of being a promotional CLP. Well, yeah, it was because I'm involved with that somewhat. So, and it's good, but we should be in well enough to know about that. Well, let's go on to the staff here, letter B. And you can't connect lead from the minister representative to the staff or to our teachers. And I have listed here the hiring of teachers. I think we can use our teachers as means of knowing, securing other teachers for our school. They don't hire the teacher. We can collect names from them. Our school, the principal and board members, we have our vetting process we go through with teachers, and so they don't hire them, but I think we can, the staff, it can be an avenue that we can ask them, do you know any prospective teachers for our school? Just one avenue. And along with that, with our teachers and staff, along with the ministry and our staff, I believe that even though you're not a representative, especially if you are, the teacher needs to know, especially a teacher from out of state or whatever, they need to know who the preacher is, who the pastor is. I mean, that's, I think that's very important, and they need to know us in a personal way. And I think that's important. And then number two is the line of authority. I think our teachers ought to know where there is a line of authority. There was an issue that came up within our school that involved some of the teachers, involved some of the patrons, involved some of the... And it was a situation that it was going downhill fast. And I don't know if you've experienced any of those times in your school or not, but No, I was on the board at that time, and relationships, and it was sort of a back and forth for a while. I wasn't sure where this all was going to come out at. But I'm going to, I know we have some non-ministers here, but in that situation, well, the one bishop in particular, no, I had my little part to play, which, whatever, and... But we use what you call it, an air grip. I mean, the bishop come in and he got a hold of the situation, and until the issue was solved, then that grip was released. And I think that's important in the life of a minister, that, that when times come up like that, that we do have to stand up to the plate. And because there were some relational issues between the teacher and some patrons, and it was not good. And if it was left go, I'm not sure where the whole thing would have went. But as it was, they took control of the thing and until it got settled. And then that grip was released, and so it was then going on smoothly, I guess, after that. I'm sure Lee knows about all that, but. But I think it's that line of authority the teachers need to realize that sooner or later, if this situation come up like that, that it's our responsibility to step up to the plate and take care of it. But I will say also that that should not be the norm. We should not always have to be laying down the hammer. Maybe the school board was elected for a job, and we'll get to that later, and we need to let them do that. I will say this also, that the ordained are under authority also when it comes to their how we respond to the school. We are under authority. The school has a right in my placement of my child. I mean, that's, we have to come under that. There's many times that I came before the Sanhedrin, the school teachers, you want to call that, and tells me all the thing about that was wrong with my child. And we need to submit to that. Now, just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean my child's perfect. I mean, they're not. That's just the way it is. It's, we have to realize that we are also under the school authority, how the school is set up in relation to our children. If we think of it otherwise, that, hey, I'm the preacher, I'm the bishop, I can do, push, well, it's not going to work. Well, number A, under that line of authority, is the school is subservient to the church. School is subservient to the church. And so, what should you say about that? I believe the, our one issue is, you know, our school is beside the church, and so do we cancel school for funerals? Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes if you feel like we need to, we do. But then it becomes into the point where if this person is an important person in school gets canceled, if he's just an old lady that's 90 years old, well, she's just whatever, then we don't cancel school. Is that true preference? Or, you know, it's things like that. But I want to read thing in our handbook. It says, talk about the purpose and goal of the Anchor Christian School. In spiritual, moral, and social development, its role, the school, is secondary to the roles of the church and the home. And I think this is good for us to remember that, that the school, as important as what it is, it's secondary to the roles of the church and to the home. And now you say to the home, that can get into a lot of eerie areas also, which I'm not going to speak on that, but anyhow. And what time is this class over?
You got 10 more minutes. 11:15.
Okay. Well, let's go. The parent and children, let's go to letter C. Privilege to understand our youth, is going to support the non-cheat teacher. It's a responsibility of us as ministers. We had a teacher once that he was a very, very fine man, Christian man. I mean, he was exhibited Christian character and all that, but in the classroom, he didn't cut it. And about two, three months, and didn't even hardly take that, but we realized that, hey, this man, he's not going to make it as a teacher, per se. So what do you do with him? Of course, discussion came up. Should we kick him out of school? No, that's not the way. Should we let him release him from his responsibilities in the middle of the year and hire somebody else in? Well, what do you do in situations like that? Well, we had chosen to. We limped along for the sake of him, because, you know, if someone's released from middle of the school, you're that serious. And that would have lifelong consequences in him. We did have some consequences in the classrooms preceding years after that, but we can deal with that. And so I think it was good the way it was handled, looking back. We need to be aware of the child who can't read. Child raising the second grade, they're. Are we aware of the situation that way? Well, let's go on. We only have 10 minutes. I want to get to this related to board members. Minutes related to board members. Board support from the Brotherhood. As I mentioned, the patrons, I believe, and the board wants our involvement. That's our experience. But letter B here is let the board work. As I mentioned before, they were chosen by the church to fulfill this role, and our role is to let them do their job. Now, depending on the personality of the preacher, I know of a situation where the ordained was on the board, and he had a handle with words. He was able to articulate ideas and thoughts, and as issues come up, everybody looked to him, and he had the answers. not saying that's wrong on the part of him, but when he left, the school board was left. They didn't hardly know how to manage it, because they were sort of overruled by that gift, I will say it. And so I think it's okay if heads turn to you for answers from time to time, but and they probably should, but I think we should intentionally sometimes keep quiet. And the other meeting was mentioned about the quiet school board member. Well, there's wisdom in that quietness sometimes. Somehow, and if we're going to give all the answers before we let them speak, there's something about a brotherhood, especially in the school, that we need their information. We need their wisdom to pull out of them. And so, because the minister represented, we may not always be there either. Well, let's go on to, I'm going to sort of skip over responsibility. I believe that we don't need to do everything. Snow committee. The ministers don't need to be involved with that. Faculty meetings. We have faculty meeting. We have once a week, Tuesday, after school. Ministry is not involved with that. School board members are supposed to be there once a week, a different one each time. And I believe that's their responsibility to be there. For encouragement.
Can I just?
Yes.
So your faculty meeting, you're saying that you have a different board member there every time?
Yeah, we have five board members, and they alternate terms, meaning the faculty meeting.
But then your principal is, right? I mean, your principal is probably in charge of that.
Yeah, principal okay. was always there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just curious. I just caught a little wind of that, and I just wanted to hear it.
Yeah, the Ministry of Art and Art at that.
Well, if his issues come up, the principal or the board member will go to the ministry. Yep, if that's where it needs to go then. Mm-hmm.
Okay, letter D. Letter C, for encouragement. That is our responsibility also. I remember a chairman. I don't know if Lee remembers this or not, but he was a new chairman. He was on the board for a year or two and he became chairman. Maybe he's the one on that, I'm not sure. But he became chairman. Here we had this whole list of things that he had to go down through. I don't know, 10, 15, I don't know how many items. But it seemed like to me as if he felt just snowballed under. How are we going to make all these decisions this one night? Well, I simply remember that time that I said, hey, here it is, come on, let's start, we'll help you. Come on, just go. And so we did, and he ended up being an extremely good board chairman. But I think it's important that we do encourage them in situations like that to move ahead. Showing them to be servants, letter D. Someday, when you're sent into the school board as a ministry representative, that new school board member may be your equal someday. We, in our constituency, we have at least 8 ordained men who were once, before they were ordained, were members, school board members. And so I think it's important that we can look at them, if put in our minds as potential people, they may be ordained someday. And so they're looking to us. How do we respond to situations? And it's important for us to respond rightly. And I think I mentioned just a little bit about ministers' children. And we don't ask for personal favor for our child. Okay. And they said, I know what it's like for our child to be in the spotlight. Let's go to spiritual input. I believe the church should hear us as ministers praying for our school. They need to hear that verbally from us. And I'm going back numerous years, but I remember things were going rough at the school board, it seemed like a little bit. After the teachers were dismissed and from our meeting, I said, why don't we establish a prayer time between, because we need that. We need that prayer time in the school board. And so I'm not sure if it's still going on or not, but there was, for many years, there was a time after the teachers left that the school board spent praying for different issues. And I think that's has been a help for our school. And think about spiritual insight. There were issues that come up. I was trying to relate back to what the actual happening, but I do remember different times sitting on the school board that issues come up and the decision, or not decision, but the ideas float, that I said, look, brother, that is not scriptural. We can't do it that way because it's anti-scripture. And I can't remember the illustration. I wish I could, but I can't recall. I tried looking back at my old notes, but I wasn't there either. But it's times like that we need to, they need to know how we feel. Do you have any input?
I have some questions.
I asked them.
From the school that are represented to the pastor, are they there as a advisor, or are they carrying voting privileges as far as decision making?
For the most part, the minister, they vote. There have been times where, I can't remember the instances where we decide, hey, the minister is not going to vote this, it's the school board. But, yeah, a lot of times the ministry does vote. But, there again, if it's a sensitive issue, and I can't recall the issue, but there have been times it's been established that we do not vote.
Okay. How about the rest of you?
We don't.
Okay. Our pastoral does vote. We do have some bishop that sit. The bishops do not vote when they are choose to be there. Mm-hmm. But your comment there, I would encourage you as pastoral. You talked about the silent, the quiet board member. There's a lot of truth in that. Mm-hmm. And we have a very good board, larger than most boards, but it works. But when you have one or two very influential. Especially from the pastoral team that like to speak their piece, even as valuable as what it is, over the years we've had one or two that almost could be a little intimidating, and that hampers, and there's a stress that school board member should not be there, and it does, the quiet board member that has a lot of input, he's not going to open his mouth. So I would just encourage you as pastorals, just, you know, and you brought out that, you know, they looked to that one board member, and I witnessed it, you know, over the years, I'm a ninth year being on the school board, that if there's a thing comes up, one particular, you know, almost always the eye, because you're, not that they're wanting him to say it, but they know he's going to say it. And everybody's sitting there, they don't want to say anything because of, they think they know what he's gonna, how he's gonna reply. And to me, that's adverse. That shouldn't be.
Well, it's sort of, to me, it militates against what a school board member is supposed to be. And to have to pull that out of a quiet school board member is it does take time. I know when I was first put on the school board, I was overwhelmed because I wasn't used to making 15 decisions in 2 hours time. It's something I had to learn.
But I think, yeah, that from our aspect, you know, the comment and letting the board work is so important. You know, the board has been appointed. And, yeah, even though you have voting rights as a pastoral member, let the board work. And, you know, if you start seeing the board stray, you know, then open it, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
there have been situations where it wasn't a necessarily right or wrong, but it's a decision. But I voted already, and the vote went the other way against me, and that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's a good subject for CASB at the Lord Terrace next year, and have Vernon and you speak to the ministry on what the board expects.
It is difficult to know because you're sitting there as a pastor and you know what their expectations are. And when should you speak and when don't you? And when I speak, I sense that they all, okay, we're listening. And it puts a lot of weight on me. And knowing when to talk, when not to talk, when to influence, when not to influence. I'm just concerned sometimes that I speak too much and I kind of, everything needs to be patterned the way I want it, because by the way our churches are set up, we just have that kind of respect. And so that needs to be curbed, and yet it needs to be, it's just difficult. It really is difficult sometimes.
We have two different pastoral members that have been previous board members, and I really learned to respect them because they're not the outspoken ones, but when they do speak, everybody listens. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's the ones that are constantly flapping that you tend to tune out. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have anything else? We have a goal for our school is, that it is, what we need to do is develop aesthetically child to the fullest extent. Now, that word aesthetically simply means to learn the beauty of learning. And the arts, you know, learning is interesting, and we can help our school boards to develop aesthetically our children. I think it's a beautiful thing. In conclusion, for the most part, my time with the school board has been a positive experience. And I don't attribute that to the ministry necessarily. I attribute that to the school board, to the way we have our things put together. And you get weary of more than meetings sometimes, but I always look forward to school board meetings. Usually they're not quite as some others, you know. And therefore, there could be. I'd say, I come to this one story. I had a brother recently tell me that there was an issue in the school of a student, a daughter, a daughter. And they asked, he was asking some outside help about this individual in his school. Well, the outside help said, maybe there's something wrong with in her relationship with the bishop. Well, the man said, I'm her bishop. This girl is in school. Well, then the man wanted to say, well, maybe it had something to do with, maybe she didn't know how to relate to the principal in the school. This girl was having some issues. Well, he said, I'm her principal. Well, then he went on to say, well, this outside help said, well, maybe there's some issues between the parent and this daughter, whatever. Well, the man would say, she's my daughter. So we never have all the answers. I mean, that is the way it's going. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for your input.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.